That are available to you here at McGill, as well as the application process, admission requirements, a little bit of information about scholarships, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of time for some questions and answers. Now, I do want to mention that today, if you're at Open House and you have a very specific admissions question about your case, or you just would like to speak to an admissions officer, they are available in the Bronfman building on the second floor lounge. They're lovely individuals, and they can basically answer absolutely any question that you may have. Now, McGill University is a large university, and we have about 300 different areas of studies at the undergraduate level. So if you go to our view book and go to pages 14, 15, and 16, you'll have the list of all the undergraduate programs available. Now, they are grouped into faculties and schools. So just so you know, those big red headings that you see in those pages are the different faculties that you have at McGill University. Now, from high school, you're directly admissible to the following disciplines: agriculture and environmental sciences, faculty of arts, education, engineering, management, our school of music, our school of nursing, as well as science. From high school, you are not directly admissible to social work, physical and occupational therapy, dentistry, medicine, or law. In order to be admissible to those programs, you will have to do some university studies or even sometimes an entire undergraduate program. Now, the list of programs that we have on pages 14, 15, and 16 is also available on mcgill.ca/undergraduate-admission/what-can-i-study. What's great about the list that's available here is that not only do you have the faculties, but you also have all the different majors, minors, concentrations that are available to you within the programs. Now, the application process to McGill is quite simple. It's an online application. You apply directly to McGill. We're not part of any common application. The application deadline for international students is January 15th. Okay, you can access our application as of today. So today, after you're done with Open House, you could go back home and apply. Otherwise, you can apply as long as you do so before January 15th. You will be applying through our system called Minerva. Each application will give you two program options, and you will be reviewed independently for each program option that you put down in an online application. The online application will also ask you if you require housing, and housing is guaranteed for all first-year students here at McGill. Now, disclosure information. I just want to point out to students that it is a very good idea to always include the name of your guidance counselor on your application, so that if there were any questions about your file during the admissions process, your guidance counselor could call on your behalf during our office hours, which is when you tend to be in class. Now, you could also put your parents, guardian, friend of the family, older sibling. So whomever you choose to have as a person that can contact the university on your behalf, make sure you include their name on the online application. Now, the online system that we have that's called Minerva will also be where you'll be able to track your application. Okay, so whenever you want to see what's going on with your application, if an admissions officer has looked at your grades, if a decision has been made, you will be able to go back into Minerva and see that. Now, if you're applying for a major scholarship, the deadline to submit the supporting documents is January 21st, so a few days after the online application is due. And the document submissions must be done by March 15th. And this is really your transcripts, your standardized test scores. If you have to provide us proof of English proficiency, all of that has to be in by March 15th. Now, I'd like to point out that you can now upload your transcripts electronically directly into Minerva. So in the past, you would have to have your school send us a paper transcript. Now you can do that yourself. So you take your transcript, you either scan it, create a PDF, or have your school provide you with a PDF of your transcript and just upload that directly into Minerva. So it does save you time, because it does take time to send something by mail, especially if some of you are coming from faraway places. Okay, and that way you will see right away that your file is complete. So you will have the opportunity to basically not have to sit there and wait for a couple of weeks to see when your transcript gets scanned and then put into your file by our documentation center. You will be doing that yourself. Okay, and if we ever needed some extra grades from you, again, that we're going to cut down on turnaround time, and it can be done right away. Now, on the application, we will be asking you to make two program choices, as I mentioned. So for each program choice, there's three steps involved in selecting your program. So the first thing you have to do is select a faculty. So I mentioned the different programs that you have. Okay, in the view book, or you can find the PDF online. So those big red headings are the faculties. You have to select a faculty. So for example, Faculty of Arts, Faculty of Engineering, okay, Faculty of Education. After you selected the faculty, you will be asked to select a program. Now, some faculties may only have one program choice, which is the case for Faculty of Arts or Faculty of Management. Some other faculties, which is actually most of the other faculties, will actually have different choices within the faculty. So let's take the example of science. You will be asked to either select the biological, biomedical, life sciences, or the physical, earth, math, and computer science group. So those are two choices within the faculty of science. So, for example, a student who is very keen on studying sciences, one program choice they could make would be the biological, biomedical, life sciences, and another choice they could make would be physical, earth, math, and computer sciences. In the case of the Faculty of Engineering, students will be asked to be even more specific. You will actually have to select which engineering program you want to be considered for. So it's not just the group. It's specifically selecting mining engineering, materials engineering, or electrical or mechanical. Now, the third step, after you've selected the faculty and then you've selected the program, the third step is going to be, you're going to be prompted to select a major. Most of the time, this major is selected for you automatically. So you won't actually, you'll see the drop-down box, but the choice will be done automatically. You won't have to worry about it. So, for example, if you applied to Faculty of Engineering and you selected Mechanical Engineering, then the system will automatically put down Mechanical Engineering as your major. However, in the case of Faculty of Arts, you will have two options, and you'll have French option or general option. So you select one of the two. Now, I would like to point out that for Faculty of Arts and Faculty of Management, regardless of what you decide at that third step, you are still being considered at the faculty level. So for example, if you selected the French option, it doesn't exclude you from just taking the regular freshman program in the end. Now, the admission requirements are very dependent on where you're studying. Okay, so I'm going to cover basically three of the most common ones, okay, especially based on who's here today in the room. But I will also provide you with a link in about three or four slides for all other international high school students where you can find the information specific to your curriculum. So for U.S. high school students, it's very simple. We'll be asking you for your transcripts that show us your grades from grade 10, grade 11, and very important, mid-year grade 12 grades. Now, what we're going to be looking at is your overall average and as well as your results and prerequisites. Now, in order to know what prerequisites you need, I bring you back to the view book. And if you go to the view book to pages 27, 28, 29, and 30, you will have these blue pages. If you go to the the right-hand column under high school applicants, and you go to the specific faculty, you will see what prerequisites we're going to be asking for. Now, we will also ask you to submit standardized test scores. You could submit ACTs or SATs. If you are submitting SATs, you will be required to also submit two subject tests in appropriate disciplines. So in that same column that I just pointed out that shows you what prerequisite courses you need, it will tell you which subject tests you need. If you're submitting an ACT, there are no subject tests required. Now, the last point, okay, no recommendation letters, essays, resumes, art supplements will be considered for admissions, unless otherwise indicated by a program. So if you're applying to architecture or to music, then yes, there will be supplemental information that you will have to provide us. But otherwise, okay, we cannot use those supplemental documents for admissions. Okay? Now, I'm probably telling you this today, and you'll probably still submit those essays to us, and it's fine, and it will be attached to your file. You can upload them electronically, but I just want you to know that you have probably other applications to do for U.S. colleges that do require you to do essays. So I would suggest that you use that extra time that McGill gives you by not asking you for essays to write even better essays for those other schools. Okay? Now, if you wanted to see what the cutoffs have been for the last few years, we do put those on our website, and that link that you see at the bottom, mcgill.ca/applying/standards, will give you the cutoffs from previous years. Okay, international baccalaureate students. So we're going to be reviewing your grades from grade 11, mid-year grade 12, as well as your predicted IB scores. Okay, so now in your case, your transcripts you will be able to upload. Sometimes your schools will not give you access to your predictions, in which case it's fine to have your school send them to us by mail. There's no problem. But if your school does give you access to your predictions, I would suggest that you also upload those directly into Minerva. Now, what we're going to be looking at are your overall scores, as well as the results in prerequisites. Now, in your case, to know what prerequisites you need, come on in, folks. You will go to pages 27, 28, 29, and 30 in the view book. Sorry, I apologize. No, you're going to be going, it's a little bit further, pages 32, 33, and 34. And then you're going to find the International Baccalaureate column, and that's going to tell you what prerequisite courses you need for each program. Now, we do require that you have at least a 5 or higher. However, for some more competitive programs, you should be more in that 6-7 range. Okay. We don't use the predicted bonus points for admissions, so we are looking at your predictions out of 42. Again, if you wanted to see the cutoffs from previous years, that link at the bottom of this slide will give you access to that. So French baccalaureate students will be reviewing your bulletins from the last 2 years. So we will be looking at the three trimesters of première, and the first trimester of terminale, the results of your bac par anticipation. We will be looking at your overall average as well as your grades and prerequisites. So same thing if you go into the view book on pages 32, 33, and 34. You will see what prerequisite courses are required for each program. We will be looking at your grades out of 20, just so you know, so you do not have those translated or transferred out of 100 or letter grades, as you may for U.S. colleges. We will look at your grades out of 20, so we really do want your original bulletins out of 20. Okay. Now, 12 out of 20 is really a minimum, but for most programs, you will have to have a higher average than 12 out of 20. And your offer of admissions will be conditional that you pass your French bac in premier groupe with a mention assez bien or better. And again, if you want to see the cutoffs from previous years, the link is at the bottom of this slide. Now, for anybody else, including here, I think there is a few of you that are doing A-levels, you will be able to not only see the cutoffs from previous years, but to see exactly what we'll be looking for. And also in the view book, okay, if you go to pages 32, 33, and 34, you have an entire column for A-level students. Okay, so you will be able to see exactly what prerequisite courses you need if you're an A-level student. Okay. So this link, mcgill.ca/applying/admissionsguide/overseas, will be able to provide all other applicants with the basic admissions information that you need. Now, some of you might have to prove English proficiency to us. We will accept most exams, and the scores are detailed also in the view book. You can find it on page 20, as well as on our website in the admissions guide, and you have the link right here at the bottom of this slide. So generally speaking, if you have not been in an English-speaking country for at least 4 years, you will have to prove English proficiency. Now, some exceptions are students that are enrolled in an international baccalaureate program and are taking an English A and have at least a 5 or better. French baccalaureate students that are in the option internationale, so the British or American section of your school, you will not have to provide us with proof of English proficiency. If you're in a British curriculum with English A level with a grade of C or better, you will not have to provide us with English proficiency. If any of you who are not American students have written SATs and have a 570 or better in critical reading and writing, that we will consider that as proof of English proficiency. Okay? So in order to know what scores you would need in IELTS or TOEFLs or anything else, you will have that here on page 20 of our view book or in the admissions guide on mcgill.ca/applying/admissionsguide. Now, any student who's applying to McGill University is considered for a basic scholarship, and you do not need to apply to that. So it's a one-time amount of $3,000, so no separate application, and the award is really based on all your grades from grade 11 and grade 12. Okay, so I put on the left-hand side here what the cutoffs for scholarships were last year, so for the incoming class now in September 2012. If you want to be considered for a major scholarship, and a major scholarship is up to $10,000 and can be renewable, you will have to apply after you've applied to the university. So you will complete an online application to apply for admissions. Once that's completed, we will provide you with a McGill ID, and you'll have your PIN, and you'll be able to go back into Minerva and then access the application form for the major scholarships. At that point, we will need some supporting documents, so this is when we need those essays from you, and this is when we'll need to know a little bit more about you. So what else do you do outside of school? Any leadership activities? As well as reference letters, and if your school ranks, we'll need to know your ranking, and any other pertinent academic information that you can make available to us. Now, major scholarships are awarded based on academic merit, but also on outstanding leadership. Now, that's basically what the topics I have to cover with you this morning, and I do still invite you to go see the admissions officers if you have any specific questions. I still have a little bit of time here this morning, so if there are any questions, we can take them at this point. And as I mentioned, if you're not too shy, we have two microphones here, or otherwise I will have to repeat your question before you answer it. Any questions? Yes.
I don't know what page it's on, but I said it before, but there was kind of a tuition range for
the... Yes. Okay, perfect. So I actually have a page about it. So the question is about the tuition range. So there's a page in the view book that gives you kind of a wide range in tuition, and that's what you're asking about. Now, basically for international students, is your tuition is based on what program you're studying. So students in Faculty of Arts, for example, will be at the lower part of this range, whereas students that are in Faculty of Engineering or Management will be at the higher part of the range for tuition. And then the rest, all the other fees that are included there are basically for all students, so mandatory health insurance, immigration fees, ancillary fees, books and supplies. And then lodging will be dependent on your hall assignment, and that's not something that's done until the month of June, okay, when after the student's been admitted and they've confirmed, after that there's a process for the hall assignments, so not every residence has the same price. And of course, depending on what residence you're in, sometimes you have a mandatory meal plan, and in some options, students cook for themselves. So basically, that's what that large range accounts for.
Okay. And is just to follow up on the tuition line, is it on the website?
Yes. Okay, so in order to know exactly what the tuition is for a specific program, there is a link to the website, and well, actually, even here in the viewbook, it'll tell you at the bottom which programs are deregulated or regulated. That's kind of the idea. But if not, if you go to McGill.ca and you go to the prospective students section, you will be able to find the section that says program costs. And at that point, you'll be able to get an idea of what it'll cost for the specific program that you're interested in. Yes, question. Okay, so the question is whether the GPA requirements are based on a weighted scale. So no, they're actually based on an unweighted scale. So what we do for GPAs, you're a U.S. high school student, I'm assuming, is that we calculate your GPA based on your academic courses. So we'll take out things like driver's ed, okay, or phys ed, and then we'll recalculate your GPA, and it is unweighted. Okay? Yes, over here. Okay, so the question is about APs and honors. We do consider them as unweighted. Okay, now I do want to mention specifically for APs, if you score a 4 or 5 on an AP exam, you will be receiving advanced standing for that AP. Okay, if you are applying to scholarships, the rigor of your program will be considered. Okay, so if you're taking a lot of APs, that definitely does look good. Yes. IB classes, same thing, just like an AP or in an honors class. Okay, so I'll repeat the question. So this young lady will not be 18 by the time she starts at McGill in September. So what happens? Well, firstly, the custodian, she will have to be a custodian, she will need a custodian in order to be able to come study here, will be our director of residence, of the residence office. So he will be her official custodian until she turns 18, and we will require her to live in residence. Okay. Whereas other students who are 18 or over are not required to stay in residence, students under the age of 18 are. Yes?
How big are classes that might be faculty student ratio?
Okay, so the question is how big classes are at McGill? What's the ratio of faculty to students? So it really is dependent on the program. Some introductory level courses will be in auditoriums like this one, for example. But as a student moves into their studies and gets more specific, the classes do really get much smaller. Now, there are some faculties where the ratios are quite small. So a student that's in Faculty of Arts studying psychology or political science will be in a much larger classroom at the beginning. But students, for example, that choose to study at agricultural and environmental sciences and in that faculty, classes will tend to be much smaller. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Is on-campus housing pretty much guaranteed?
Yes. Yes. On-campus housing is guaranteed for all first-year students. Now, typically at McGill, students tend to only stay in our on-campus housing in their first year. But if a student wanted to stay in our housing for longer than that, that wouldn't be an issue. So if they want to stay there in their second, third, fourth year. Okay. Otherwise, most students at McGill, so if you meet any students today, for example, at Open House, they usually get an apartment in their second, third year, fourth year. Yes? If you don't mind, I'm going to answer your question in a certain way because your question is very specific, but maybe you can come and see me specifically after. So the question, how I'm going to answer it, is about double majoring or studying outside of your faculty, which I think may apply to more people here. Now, if people are interested, if students are interested in exploring disciplines outside of their faculty, they can absolutely even do up to a minor outside of a faculty. So outside of their own faculty. So for example, if you have a science student that would like to do a minor in anthropology, that's available to them. They would just register for that minor. For example, another example is engineering students who want to do a minor in management. That's available to them. Okay. Now, in the case of double majoring, that is really more of a difficult question. It's not always possible. It depends on the program. Double majoring within certain faculties can be more doable, but these are the kinds of questions and the kinds of things that students really need to take care of as soon as they come to McGill, and we have great academic advisors that can sit down with them and discuss it with them and see, you know, and try and draw out a plan for them. Okay? Yes?
I've already submitted an application, but based on the information I got today, I might want to change some things. Is that possible?
Okay, very good question. So this young man already submitted his application, and based on today's presentation, he may want to make changes to that. So basically, until January 15th, nothing is final because that's really the application deadline, and we won't be reviewing files until after that date anyway. So what I would suggest is that you'd send an email to servicepoint@mcgill.ca and just clearly tell them what your McGill ID number is, what program choice you would like to change. So tell them what you had selected and what you would like to change it to. Okay, and they will do that for you. Okay, just give them a few days because they do get inundated with a lot of emails, but that's how you would go about it. Okay. Yes, over here. Okay, so the question is about English proficiency. If a student has a score that is lower than what we require, can the student still be admitted? Okay, in some very specific cases, it may be possible if academically the student is very strong. Okay, there are specific, very, very specific cases, but that is a very small minority. Generally speaking, students must meet our English proficiency. What we suggest, and since you have till March 15th, you will be able to write it over and over until you get the appropriate score, right? And we will really take the highest score. We just want to see that you meet the score. That's right. Yes. So let's say if you write it again in the month of January, that would still be okay. We will still get your score on time. Okay. I'll go over here. Yes.
If you're taking any classes in high school that are earning college credit through
yes.
Okay,
so the question is about college-level courses and if we take that into account. So for admissions, generally, you will be required to submit a transcript from that college because we're going to have to look at it when we look at your file. Now, what is particular about college-level courses is that you may receive some credits for that. So you may receive freshman credits upon completing the course. Okay? So at that point, it will depend basically on what program you'll be enrolling in and what type of course you took. So you'll probably have to get us a little bit of information about that course. Okay. Yes, over here. Okay, so the question is if you can still submit SAT scores till March 15th. Yes. However, I would suggest that if you decide to submit us SAT scores later on in the admission cycle, I do want to warn you that some of our programs, especially the very competitive ones, do fill up quite quickly. So if you are planning on writing the SAT again or the ACT, just please notify us. So you can put it in the online application with the date that you'll be writing, or you could send ServicePoint an email to let us know. Okay? Yes? Yes. Very good question. So, yeah. Okay, so very good question. So it's about uploading transcripts and uploading standardized test scores. So I'll deal with the transcripts first. So either a student can take their paper transcript and scan them themselves. Of course, it has to be a very legible scan. Okay, and there's a few different formats that we'll accept for the upload, and they just upload it, in which case the school should not be also sending it by mail. You shouldn't be duplicating the transcript. Now, or the school can just send us the transcript. That's the other option, by mail. Or sometimes the school can actually give the student an electronic version, basically a PDF, an electronic version of their transcript. And so you would take that and upload it directly into Minerva. Now, for standardized test scores, we do receive those electronically from the board. We do have an institution code, so you just ask that your standardized test scores get sent to us. What's great about that is that we are constantly uploading them, so we will get the most up-to-date test result. Okay, so this question is about if we take the best result of the test score, of the standardized test. So if you are submitting SATs, we will take the highest component score. So we will take the highest reading, the highest writing, the highest math, and the highest subject test that we need. If you are submitting the ACT, we do not superscore the ACT because we have to look at the composite score of the ACT. Okay, yes, go ahead.
I want to know the requirements for the students, the university students who want to choose program as their second degree.
Okay, so I'm actually going to ask you to come see me afterwards, okay? So we're going to leave this just for high school students. So the question was about university students who would like to come to McGill for a second degree, and I'll handle that separately. Yes, for the young lady there. Okay, so when do you find out if you're admitted or not? That's a very good question. So one part of that answer is that we have to have your grades. Okay, so we can't make a decision on your file until your file is complete. So I mentioned to you those mid-year grade 12 grades. So the sooner you can get that to us, the better. Okay, as well as your standardized test scores. So when your file is complete after January 15th, we will be able to make a decision on your file. So at first, so closer to that deadline date, say in February, we tend to admit the strongest students first. Okay? And as we go along in the admissions cycle, we'll start to admit other students. So the majority of students, at least for American students, we try and commit to that May 1st deadline because we know that you'll have to let U.S. colleges know whether or not you'll be coming to them. You'll have to confirm. So we really try very hard to get you an answer by then. So as I said, so part of it is on you in getting us all the information that we need. And once we have all that information, then we just have to review your file. Okay? Yes. Okay, we do not have an early decision. Yes. All right, so I'll take one more question. Yes, the young man here. Okay. Very good question. So, a student has done ACTs, SATs. What will we take? Will we look at one? Will we look at all? Basically, what we're going to do is take what's highest. Okay? So generally speaking, because our admissions is really just based on numbers, send us as many numbers as you want. Okay? So if you've written the SATs and the ACTs, as long as you have subject tests for the SATs, because we do need subject tests when you submit SATs, we will use what's highest. So if the ACT is more favorable, that's what we'll use. If the SAT is more favorable, that's what we'll use. Okay? Okay, one last question. Okay, so do the SAT2s have to be specific to a faculty? So you will have to see for your faculty what subject tests they require. Generally speaking, if you're applying to a science-based program, you will have to submit subject tests that are in science disciplines. And on the other side of this is Faculty of Arts, and there's no specific subject test requirements. Well, I'd like to thank you for attending this presentation. I'm still here for a few minutes if you have some questions, and I'd also like to thank the students online who have taken the time to watch us today. Hi.